You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, the election is over. President-elect Donald Trump will be heading to the White House, but before he gets there, he'll have to assemble his cabinet and administration. We'll learn more about who's already been chosen and how the cabinet could shape his presidency in just a bit. First, imagine a time of rapid technological transformation, worries about the future of work and jobs, economic dislocation, political uncertainty, a debate over immigration. No, not today, but the late 1800s in the United States, 1874 to be exact, when a philosopher named John Bascom came to Wisconsin to serve as the president of the University of Wisconsin. Bascom didn't want to work in an ivory tower. He wanted to harness the abilities of the university to help the nation and the state navigate those difficult times. Along the way, our next guest says Bascom set the stage for the Wisconsin idea. John Hoveler joins us now. He's Distinguished Professor of History at the UW-Milwaukee. His latest book is John Bascom and the Origins of the Wisconsin Idea. John, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
Well, how did John Bascom see the university, see higher education in general, playing a role in navigating through those difficult times?
Well, of course, he assumed the presidency at a time when American higher education was changing all over. We were moving from the era that we often call the era of the old-time college, with its basis in the ancient classics and religious education and languages, toward one model on the German university. And we're really expanding the realms of knowledge, and we'll be forming separate categories and departments like history and literature and philosophy and so on. So John Bascom comes at that time. He's very interested in expanding those horizons as far as possible, and was convinced that it had to be done with a commitment to an open pursuit of wherever knowledge leads.
And the idea of the Wisconsin idea, a lot of people place that in the early 1900s, but you say John Bascom really did set the stage for it a few decades beforehand. How so?
Oh, yes, indeed. And this was really behind my interest in writing this book. We have some clues from the fact that, as you say, people mostly associated with this idea that emerges in the early 20th century are people like Robert La Follette, progressive governor, Charles Van Hise, president of the university, 1903 to 1918. Both of them came from John Bascom's class. They were graduates together in the class of 1879. So the question that really fascinated me was, how might a philosopher and theologian and sociologist like Bascom have influenced one like La Follette, who was a committed political individual, Charles Van Hise, a noted academic administrator and leader. So it takes us back, in fact, to Bascom as a philosopher and how he was engaged in, for example, much of the legacy of Immanuel Kant and German idealism, German philosophical idealism, in religious thinking, especially insofar as he was a liberal Protestant theologian. Actually gave talks at Madison, baccalaureate sermons on subjects like the New Theology, which became a title of a book that he wrote later, and also evolution. This is the age of Charles Darwin, of course, 1859, Origin of Species. Bascom thought evolution, as he called it, was the great idea of the 19th century. So the book is concerned about how he kind of merged ideas from these three areas and then took them into the arena of political reform.
Yeah,
and he did so,
as a university president, he was not shy about getting involved in the most controversial political issues of the day.
He was not shy, and it got him into trouble. One of the reforms in which he was really committed was temperance, prohibition. This is a state that has breweries, German population. The trustees actually said, you're president of this whole state university. You've got to be careful of your politics. Less controversial, but by no means a smooth ride for him, were his commitment to women's rights, co-education. He wrote on many aspects of the situation of the sexes and gender relations in the late 19th century, and money and class, too. He really feared the growth of very powerful economic interests in the United States, such that they really had so much power that they distorted the whole political equilibrium of states and countries. So each of these three reform causes is a chapter in the book, but they do emerge from his other realm of thinking and philosophy and theology, as I mentioned.
Now, this is a guy coming from the East Coast, ultimately, yes, to Wisconsin with these strong ideas. What was Wisconsin's reaction to him?
Well, one has to look at the makeup of the state. This was a state that had a heavy settlement of New Englanders, actually called Yankees or Yorkers, many New Englanders who had migrated to New York. And even Wisconsin was even called New York's sister state. And they had his kind of background, moral reform, anti-slavery, temperance. Of course, this led to, really a kind of Kulturkampf, in fact, with many of the immigrants, especially the Germans. So you could almost say that UW under Bascom was more of an England, New England import, even though the model came from the great German universities that whose influence was going everywhere in American universities.
Talking to John Hoveler, his latest book is John Bascom and the Origins of the Wisconsin Idea. John's a distinguished professor in history at UW-Milwaukee. Here's a quote. You quote John Bascom saying or writing, I think, "The time will come when educational men will gather influence within their own field and become servants of the state to counsel action as well as to carry it out." This ended up happening, didn't it? I mean, up till not that long ago, there were often blue ribbon commissions using experts from the UW system and elsewhere. Was that part of John's vision, that extension of knowledge beyond the campus?
Oh, yes, indeed. It's one of my favorite quotations. I'm glad you spotted that. Thanks. It's one especially that was meaningful to Robert La Follette. Whenever he talked about his experience, his recollection of being a student in Bascom's classes, he said he was always telling us of our duties to the state and how the state is important for all of us, but that we owe a return to the state as products of its education system. And he and Charles Van Hees, one in the governor's office, one in the university presidency, thought of themselves as carrying through Bascom's ideas about what kind of university they would like to have.
And was it restricted to helping political leaders of the time, or UW researchers also helped develop agriculture, a lot of other practical areas? Was it part of his mission to reach out to the economy, to help people even who weren't students gain an education?
Well, he was not quite as ambitious there as others that came after him were. Agricultural extension came after him under his successor, but he was convinced that all kinds of learning always had a good material consequences for people. And Van Hees said frequently, for every dollar we have from the public, will we pay five times over?
He was very prolific as an author, it looks like, just reading through his bibliography. There's a lot there, a lot that I think would be over my head in terms of philosophy and theology. He's a remarkable character, isn't he, in that he had these things that we might think, ivory tower academic, yet this very practical drive to make the university useful, a benefit to the public.
Yes, and that's precisely why I love doing this book. It's not always the case in intellectual history that we find great thinkers from whom they extrapolated, as it were, their more abstract thinking, religious thought and metaphysics, into the realm of society. So Bascom's a wonderful case of that.
Are there lessons that, as you were writing this book, that you think we could learn from John Bascom today?
Yes. What I wanted to do was to ask, what does the Wisconsin idea look like if we look at it through John Bascom? We know the idea of outreach to the state, academic freedom, the 1894 region statement, and so on, and the service ideal. But, you know, when you look at the points in which Bascom was engaged, those three categories, in each one of them, he always cited for the one that gave the greatest space to the human mind. In epistemology, it's powers through intellect and reason and intuition. In Protestantism, he was breaking from the long Calvinist heritage of his ancestors and father to open up religion to science. So I think when we ask what is the Wisconsin idea from John Bascom's vantage, it is the idea that the university is a house of intellect. It's a place for the human mind. He had immense respect for it. He admired capitalists and businessmen for their creativity, for their innovation. He was in awe of the technological wonders in industry and science of his day, because he would say, this is what the human mind can do.
So you've written this book, you've been giving talks, you're giving a talk in Madison, actually on Thursday at the Madison Club. As you talk about John Bascom, is he a familiar figure here, or has he gotten his due from the Wisconsin of today?
Not till now. you know, I often begin these discourse, these presentations, by showing a picture of Bascom Hall and asking the people in my audience, how many of you recognize this scene? Almost everybody does. But if I ask for whom it's named, Bascom, John Bascom, no.
And are people perking up? Are they interested as you talk? Are they wanting to learn more about him and his role in the state?
It seems to me that they do. I've had wonderful turnouts, 100 people and more in some of these visitations. I've been very gratified at the interest, very rewarding to see that kind of curiosity. What is behind that famous building and that famous hill, the UW campus?
Well, John, thanks a lot for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me. Enjoyed it very much.
We've been talking to John Hovler, Distinguished Professor of History at UW-Milwaukee, and we've been talking about his latest book, John Bascom and the Origins of the Wisconsin Idea. He's speaking about that book at the Madison Club this Thursday evening. Coming up, President-elect Donald Trump has started announcing some members of his administration as he heads to the White House. We'll learn more about some of those advisors and the influence they can have on the Oval Office. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.